Hey, guys, what's going on?
Oh, good to talk to you, Chris Williams. Chris Williams, Cyclone Fanatic on the Griptide Foundation Repair Hotline. Well, the Capital City League is underway. Night one was on Sunday night. I know that you'll make your debut tomorrow, Chris, as far as covering it, but any stories come out of Sunday that you were made aware of?
Two of them, I guess, would come to my mind. The George Niang plane, you know, that where we were told about a week ago that he wasn't going to. So I thought that that was somewhat newsy, even though, you know, there have been some hints that he was potentially going to play regardless. But just seeing him out there, you know, running around, I think that's a good sign for Iowa State fans. Not that there was ever any doubt, you know, it's a broken foot and that, you know, it's a situation where we all knew he would bounce back from it. But earlier the better, I would say, for George Niang. And then I thought Clayton Custer's night, the true freshman, he had like 29 points, and we all know that you can't take stats of that league too seriously, but just the fact that he was able to go out there and assert himself in his first game, that's a big deal for me, because I remember last year, like Monty Morris, for instance, it took him a while before I thought he looked comfortable out there, but Clayton, again, I wasn't there, but apparently he just jumped right in, he led his team in scoring, and he was really a force, which you like to see, because I feel, you know, it's almost a proving ground of some sorts for newcomers that the Cap City League has been, and I think that's encouraging, because all signs point to him being Iowa State's backup point guard next year. So his big night, I would say, is the most newsy thing of them all. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it was a pretty normal night at the Cap City League. But, you know, Matt Thomas wasn't there. Monty Morris wasn't there. A couple other.
BDJ.
Yeah. Alex Cook wasn't there. So that's why I didn't go. I was going to save my first night of going for a night where I thought there'd be more Cyclones in attendance.
The George Niang weight loss, Chris, was that something he, I'm guessing that the trainers and George discussed that in unison, or was he on your own, do you know?
Well, he did this last year too. I mean, that was the big story surrounding George last summer. The season was over. He went to Hoiberg and said, "I need to lose weight. You know, I need to be more conditioned." And I think he put some back on before the season. What he did, he's swimming. George is real into swimming. It relaxes him. It's a great form of exercise for anybody who's done it. So I don't know if he's still doing that or not. But that was his big training regimen during the off season last year. And you know, if you want to pick anything about George Niang's game apart, he needs to work on his body if he wants to, you know, survive at the next level. I think that would be an appropriate term with what he looks like right now, and he can get better there. So, you know, I thought he was pretty well conditioned at the end of last year. He was playing a lot of minutes in a lot of basketball games down the stretch, but that's an area where he can really get better at. So that's definitely encouraging news coming out of the George Niang camp.
Chris, when the guys that have been busted for drunk driving, how's that going to impact, and when do you think we'll get something on that?
I'm pretty sure, just based off of you know, precedents and cases in the past when I've covered Iowa State, it's usually like 10% of your season. I mean,
that's right from the student handbook, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's what it is. So, you know, that would be either two or three games. It just depends. I don't know. I don't know exactly if the exhibition counts as a game or not. I think that's that's kind of floating around. So I would say either the exhibition and the first two games in the regular season, or the first three games of the regular season and the exhibition. Nobody's been real clear on that, and we won't hear anything.
Right.
Probably, you know, media day would probably be the first time any of this is actually discussed. So, you know, if it's the first three games of the regular season, you know, I'm putting some pieces of the puzzle together. That would include, I believe, now the schedule's not out yet, but again, just kind of looking into this, that could be the first game in Kansas City if that's CBE. So, you know, not necessarily a game against Mississippi Valley State or whatever in Hilton.
Right, yes.
But, you know, that's way into the future. If Hoiberg hasn't even commented on it yet, and I don't anticipate us hearing anything newsy on that until probably October
right.
at the earliest.
The football season, 74 days away. We're talking basketball with Chris Williams, Cyclone Fanatic, on 1460 KXNO. Jameel McKay, Chris, Randy Peterson put it out there. Apparently McKay feels pretty good about, you know, maybe winning his appeal.
I don't I guess I don't feel as good as Jameel does, but from Iowa State's standpoint, hopefully he's correct. It's just I don't know exactly what kind of a case there is there, and that's private information. But I just the NCAA, it is just you can feel great about it, and it's just such a great case can be denied, and a horrible case can
right.
get the waiver.
You never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like my whole deal is that I think it's great Jameel feels that way, but I don't really put a lot of precedence into it either, because how I would hope he feels good about his case. You know, why else are you making a case if you don't feel good about it? And I'm kind of taking that, that's kind of an it is what it is type deal for me, because there's just been so much, it can go either way. And I just don't think that that's a reason to think that Jameel McKay will be able to play in the first half of the season.
Chris Williams is our guest. It's Miller and Brinson, 1460 KXNO. Chris, of course, Cyclone fanatic. As far as football is concerned, the lines have come out early, like they do. And, of course, the big Cy-Hawk game. Everybody gets jacked for that. 9.5-point underdog at Kinnick. Chris, was that about where you thought it was going to be, too high or too low?
You know what? It may have been a little bit lower than I thought.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
But not much. I mean, I was thinking more 11, 12.
Yeah, I had 12 to 14. Ken had, what, 13, 14?
14, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so we're all about in the same category. Yeah, I think maybe Vegas is catching up on history just in the standpoint
it's
of
always close.
Yeah. And even last year, you know, in the trenches, that wasn't a close football game.
Right.
But the scoreboard was at the end of the day. And that is generally how that game has gone over the last decade or so. So, you know, perhaps Vegas is onto this now. And that used to be, Ken, I don't know about you, but I would have thought for the last 10 years or so, that's usually a pretty good game for a guy to make a little money on when it comes to that line.
Indeed.
You know, when Iowa State was first establishing itself as a contender to the University of Iowa in the state, because those lines used to be outrageous. Didn't matter what Iowa State had coming back, where it was at, it's a 17-20 point type line. And now, you know, you're kind of starting to see them close in. So maybe they're accurate. I don't know, but I was anticipating a couple points more.
Chris, staying with football, and it's from your mailbag today. I thought it was a good question regarding Jay Campos, and you know what expectations are for him. He originally commits to Mizzou, switches. He's in Iowa State. He was the first of back-to-back-to-back number one recruits in the state to pledge to Iowa State football. What do you think? What's Campos going to do this year? Will he beat out Jacob Gannon for the right tackle spot?
Boy, I don't think so. And that's nothing against Jake Campos at all. It's just Jake Gannon's a fifth-year senior who, I've been told, has kind of a Carter Bajkowski-type outside shot to get drafted next year. And, you know, Jake Campos is a talented kid. He's going to be a really good player for Iowa State, but he's still a redshirt freshman we're talking about here. And this is, you know, this is Big 12 football. So I think the expectation for him to come in and steal a starting spot from a fifth-year senior is just, I don't know if I'll call it outrageous, but I don't think it's fair either. I think that, you know, if he was going to take any starting spot, perhaps it would be Daigle, but I don't think that would happen either. I think Brock Daigle's, maybe one of the best offensive linemen that Iowa State has going into the season. So, no, I don't see that happen barring injuries, and again, it has nothing to do with Campos. Just, you know, as long as those guys are healthy, the whole way Iowa State recruits and develops, you know, Jake Gannon should play his best round of football as a fifth-year senior. And, you know, he was probably on his way to a pretty good season last year, I think, before he got hurt. So I'm going to go no on Jake Campos starting, but I still think he plays quite a bit next season, too.
Let's follow up with another offensive question. And Mark Mangino coming in as the offensive coordinator.
Wait, I missed that. When did he get here?
Stop.
Mangenius.
Chris, during the little camp that they had in the spring, he didn't really offer up much, didn't really show much. Do you expect both guns to be blazing right from the get-go when camp opens then offensively?
Well, yeah, but we're not going to know anything about it. They're trying their hardest to keep everything under wraps, and frankly, I don't blame them. They need every advantage that they can get heading into next season, especially, you know, with a formidable opponent like North Dakota State in the first game. So Yeah, I mean, I'll be surprised. I mean, we started hearing all that stuff about the pistol and whatnot last year. We're not hearing anything this year, and it doesn't matter how much you pry. I mean, it's really tough to get a gauge on what's going on with that offense. And again, I think that's the best case scenario for Iowa State. But yeah, I mean, that to me, you know, people ask me why should we get excited about Iowa State football this year. That's the reason. I mean, Mangino's proven. On top of that, he has 11 starters returning. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to a bowl game. That doesn't mean they're going to score 40 points a game. But it's definitely an intriguing story to pay attention to during fall camp. And it's a sign of hope, too, I think, for next season. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting fall camp once that starts, for sure.
Chris Williams, Cyclone Fanatic. All right, Chris, what will you be doing after you witness your first Cap City League? Will we see a story that night?
Yeah.
What's your plans?
I want to talk to Nat Long. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who told me that Nat is just filling it up. It's not necessarily in the Cap City League, but it's a practice facility and just everything he does. I think he's a guy who is really perhaps getting lost in the shuffle, you know, with DeJon Jones signing, and you've had a lot of high-profile additions to this program in the offseason. I think a lot of people have forgotten about the guy who hit a lot of those shots that kept Iowa State's season going like he did last year. And I've heard that Naz Long is just, you know, hell-bent on not losing his starting spot. So I think that's an intriguing story. I'm really going to tackle that hard tomorrow night and hope to talk to him. His name will be on the Capital City League Hall of Fame when it's all said and done, or it should be, because guys who succeed in that league, Boo Boo Powell is the perfect example.
Yep.
The ones who, they don't care, you know, they don't care if it's Sweet 16 or if you're playing at the Valley Southwoods Gymnasium. They're going to lay it all out there and give it 100%, and that's what Naz Long does. So I'm really curious to see the type of steps that he's made so far during the offseason, and that's what I'm going to be looking to cover tomorrow night.
Last thing, Chris, as an alum of Iowa State, did the Visha committee do the right thing by continuing with the celebration but changing the name?
I don't know. I don't see what changing the name is going to do, to be honest with you. This is a situation now where, in my opinion, I mean, if the kids want to drink, they're going to drink. If they're going to get out of control, they're going to get out of control. And what I hope is an alumni and, you know, a guy who, you know, grew up going to Visha and all that stuff. You know, you just hope that the kids there and everywhere and everybody really learned a lot from last year. Now, history has seemed to repeat itself with the tradition. But, you know, usually there's a break in between the madness. So, you know, I'm optimistic. I'm glad they're keeping forward with it. There's a lot of kids there who put in a lot of hard work that doesn't, you know, it has nothing to do with the, you know, the headlines, which are the riots and whatnot. It really overall is a really cool deal if you've never been to it. It's an awesome thing for the community of Ames, brings Iowa State together. I think that they made the right call. I don't know what switching the name will do. I mean, people are still going to associate it with Visha, but, you know, I wish them nothing but the best. I hope it works out.
Chris, great stuff. We'll talk to you in the days, week to come. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
See you, Chris.
Chris Williams, Cyclone Fanatic, on the Griptite Foundation Repair Hotline. Mark Moorhouse on the Hawks, Chris Williams on the Cyclones. You and I are headed to break.
Sounds like a plan to me. Let's do it. It's Miller and Brinson, 1460 KXNO.